Hi everyone, welcome to the Pony Sync. Today is February 5th, 2019. We have a good crowd here. I'm Andy. I guess everybody just say your name.
I'm Sean. Last I knew it was February 3rd, so I'm stunned.
Joe McElveen here on February 5th.
I'm Gordon.
And there's Theo, and there's Matthias. And Matthias sent a thing that says he can't talk. He's just going to be listening.
Oh, okay. Great.
And right. and Theo is just refusing to speak because, you know, he's got that.
Sorry, I was muted.
It's that Philadelphia attitude.
Yeah.
I see how this all works. All right. Great. Well, welcome everybody. So let's start at the start and
let's start by getting started.
Hey, I'm doing what I can here, man. RFCs.
Yeah, I think we have a new one.
We do have a new one. Standard Lib Prime Proposal.
So, I was about to say I haven't checked this out, but then look, there are comments for me.
gotta cross your eyes and dot your T's, Sean.
But you're not gonna let me live that one down, are you? Now it's recorded.
Okay, so this is for a library of prime related functions within the standard library. Sean, I guess you've taken a look at it.
Well, I just had a couple questions for, there were a couple things that popped out at me that I asked at least a question about.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, and made a comment about something else, which he apparently, my comment is now outdated, which was what? Right. Okay. Can you remove the main dot actor thing? Everyone else should read it.
Okay. Anything we need to say about it right now? This has only been open for 5 days. If everybody just wants to take a look at it, and we can, I guess, maybe have some discussion there in the PR, and then move ourselves on to wherever we need to go next with it. Any comments anybody wants to make for now? All right.
I just have to say I like the inclusion of GCD and LCM.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is an interesting proposal just because there's a part of me that feels like some of these things to really be useful would have to deal with big enough numbers that you start to need like specific optimizations for specific problems. But I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little more.
I think it's a reasonable thing to have in there to go along with Fibonacci. You know, maybe eventually we can remove my jackassy Fibonacci comment. either that, or we should just remove the math library entirely. One or the other.
I don't know. Okay. All right.
So I'll say I've made a couple comments on the thing that sort of says is I like the fact that I don't actually know it's he. I like the fact that they are doing this as a external library first. The answer to one of my questions seemed to be that they were looking to get the RFC accepted before the library was done, and I just left a comment basically saying I would like to see the complete version of this with all of the tests, et cetera, and everything for this before an RFC was accepted, so we could actually be reviewing specifically that library, and the RFC could become to include that library into the standard library, because it would be useful as being inside the standard library rather than being a standalone library.
Yeah, I think we had a similar discussion when we were talking about Nissen's proposal for some structure or some
The stuff. Python struct thing, which I think he's closing or did close.
Well, yeah, but just kind of this idea of like if it's a library, should our general policy be to start it out as an external library and then move it internally? I think the thought was we didn't necessarily have to make that a general policy, but that probably be kind of the direction we recommend people go in most cases.
It's definitely what I recommend to people, and it's my default starting position for everything. So
fair enough. Okay. All right. Just for the record, that was issue 142. Any other discussion? There are no more new RFCs. I don't remember seeing any comments on any other ones. Just checking a few of these real quick. No, I guess, okay, Nissen did comment 4 days ago on the Python struct like primitives.
Did he say he was closing it or what did he close it?
No, he says, I think the best course of action is to close this RFC and see if this comes up again in the future. Any thoughts or objections?
I have no objections.
All right. Maybe just reply along those lines. I'll do the same. Okay. Are there any other RFCs that anybody wants to talk about?
I have none.
Nope. Okay. We'll move on then. Okay. Let's go on to Pony C pull requests. Do we have any new pull requests?
Yes, we do.
We do. Mm-hmm. We have TR3000. That sounds super cool. Process manager refactor for Windows. That is exciting.
He must have pushed.
Yes.
Sir. Oh, nice, nice. He fixed the double close on POSIX.
Nice. Yeah. I joined the meeting this morning in case you wanted to talk about it.
Oh, hello.
No. Hey, Carl.
Hey.
How's it going?
That was just a little mistake. It was easy to fix. I'm still trying to get Windows to work, but I don't know what the state is. Maybe the refactor, I can clean up the refactor and put that in without Windows support because it's no worse than it was.
That I'm completely in favor of having a PR, which is like, hey, this is a refactor, which would lead to support for Windows. The API stays the same, et cetera. Boom. Yeah. There's no difference otherwise. That I'm completely in favor of that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And then it's in it. PR for that. Then.
That fits very nicely in my like integrate as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Good one. Add modulo operator and floor division.
Yeah.
2997.
Yeah. So I guess my big question on that, but Matthias can't speak, so I'm going to look at the RFC right now, is does this actually do
what was that, Trent?
Yeah. So then my question would be, and I assume he can't unmute himself, but I'll say it, and I'm also going to type it here. So as part of the RFC, it said that there would be an addition to the tutorial for these operators, and there's no PR open for that yet. So I don't want to merge this until that's available, because the RFC is not complete without that. The RFC was accepted with tutorial updates as being part of it. So at the least, this is not This is not complete yet. It's partial.
Okay. Are you typing that as a comment into the PR?
Yep.
Thank you.
No pun intended with the partial.
Sean doesn't do puns.
I'm dying over here. I should be shot for unintentional pun.
Yeah, so the outstanding question that Matthias asked was, is there a better way to handle the edge case of y equals zero or overflow?
I think that's something that we should probably look at offline, unless somebody has a solution that immediately jumps out.
I think that this, the number of comparisons here is not, it's not too different from the number of comparisons we have in like the div implementation. Every integer division starts out by checking it makes those same checks if the denominator is zero or the denominator is -1 and the numerator is the minimum value. For every signed division begins with those checks and every unsigned division begins with the check of t equals zero. So this is, while I'm not fond of all the extra checks either, it does the same extra checks that div does. So it's not in any way like a bug or inconsistent with that. And if you need to avoid those, then that's when FLD unsafe comes in to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I will leave a comment describing that.
Sounds good. Okay.
I have one other. Okay, and I left one other comment. In particular, it's unclear to me whether the edge case that he mentions is covered in the tests. So I just want to make sure that it is, because if it isn't, I think, given it's an edge case, that he found that we should definitely have a test for that, so that we don't, at some point in the future, do some changed implementation that might not cover that edge case.
Sounds good. There's been a little bit of commenting on 2981. Let forked process change directory before exec.
Yes. Yes, I saw there was a push to that. And it looks like a couple failed, but they are ARM ones, so we do have sporadic ARM ones, so I'm going to I can't restart these because they're on a forked repo. No, this actually looks like potentially a legit real test failure. Yep, it's the same one on both. I'm going to leave a comment. Looks like you are almost there. but it fails on arm. Failing. Matrix test. So not, yeah, it's not quite there. Those are real. Those look to be real failures.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave a comment to try to look into those. baby sleeping, that's a totally,
yeah,
very legitimate.
Yes, very, very, very legitimate. For anybody's, yes. Do we want to talk about the LLVM stuff? Is there anything to talk about there? Yeah,
the next one I was going to ask about, 2976, the LLVM 7.0.1 compatibility. PR. I don't know if there's anything we really need to talk about on the call.
So just to summarize, the current status is the same that was discussed in Slack, which is that there's still a looming Windows issue, but other than that, LLVM 7 support works. There's kind of a parallel, not parallel, but a sequential effort from me to try to remove the TBAA type-based alias analysis annotations that that are causing some optimization issues on LLVMs greater than 3.9. And so there's just been, I don't know if we want to discuss it more, Sean, but last I mentioned on this, kind of my position was I would prefer to wait till LLVM 7 support was merged to begin working on that stuff, because otherwise we're just going to have merge conflicts with the LLVM 7 branch as I try to clean up support for versions greater than 3.9. But I think your position, Sean, is that like the sooner we can support higher LLVM versions, the better, because Homebrew is going to stop supporting 3.9 soon.
Yes.
And I guess we just have to figure out, like, if you still feel that way, Sean, I can probably take a look at if you think it's worth me, going through the extra merge conflicts to do it, and it'll be that helpful, then I can.
I don't. I just think. It's like, I know that like the 7 is waiting on when Gordon has time to look at the Windows stuff. So I would just say, I might do if at that point in time when they drop 3.9.1, if we're not ready, I'm going to upgrade the brew recipe to, LLVM 6. And there might be a couple problems there. There might not be, like, we don't know, but it'll be something for that to hold us over for that time period.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, it's unlikely that anyone is using Pony C on OS X for production. So if there are performance degradations, it doesn't necessarily matter as much.
And did you see in the chat, Matthias said there is an LLVM 7.1 release around the corner. Maybe that fixes the Windows issues.
That would be awesome.
Assuming it doesn't create any more issues.
I mean, but yeah. If not Windows issues, then I can help with them.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Gordon, you had a comment on the 2949 change to deterministic 64-bit type IDs for cross-binary serialization.
A patch that fixes the Windows on my local machine.
Okay.
Yeah, so at this point, it's either Dippin comes along and has time and does it, or somebody can grab Dippin's branch, pull it into theirs, apply this patch, and push it, which I might do if, you know, if
I can do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that would be great. I know Dippin is running around being a consultant this week, so he's certainly not going to have time this week, and he's been doing lots of running around being a consultant. So, yeah.
Should I make a new PR for that or just push it?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can push it to his branch. So, yeah, a new PR for it with the just keep the same, you know, info for everything for it.
Cool. I'll do that.
All right. Okay. And then we could get it. Boom, we could bring it in. It could go for the next release. Woo! I'm very excited for that one.
Yeah.
Yep. No, Andy. I'm woo! Not yay. Okay.
Sorry. All
right. Woo!
All right. Let's see. I'm just looking at 2972, the add higher kind of type support. Doesn't look like there's been any discussion on that one.
Yeah, there's been some discussion in the compiler discussion channel on Slack, but yeah.
Right, yeah. Sorry, I meant specifically in the PR.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think there have been any other comments on this and any of the other PRs. Does anybody have any other PRs they'd like to discuss? I will take that silence as a no. Cool. All right. Let's go on to issues and let's look at the.
Oh, can we do 2995?
I was going to start at 3001 just because that's at the top. Then can we go to 2995 or do we?
2995, I don't think will take long.
All right, we'll start with 2995.
Okay. 2995. So EEVV reported this in IRC, and I was like, oh, I think that's a bug. I remember that being a bug. And I thought we had adjusted that in the tutorial. I went and looked, and we removed this the example that he gives is something that used to be in the tutorial, and it's no longer in the tutorial. Now in the tutorial, we show that the condition variable has to be assigned outside of the repeat. And I asked him to file this bug because I was like, I don't know whether we intentionally decided that we weren't supporting this or not. And so I wanted to, like, Joe, do you remember?
Let's see here. I do remember something about this,
yeah.
But I don't remember what about this. I'm going to do a quick search through issues.
It was in the tutorial before. It's not in the tutorial now. So after finding that out, after I asked them to report it, I'm assuming that this came up previously. I couldn't find anything for it. And that we decided we were going to update the tutorial and that this would be a weird edge case to allow this thing that was lexically assigned inside of this loop to be used as the condition for the loop itself, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I did find a related 2784 is related, but I remember as well that there was an issue where I think we decided to remove it from the tutorial. I'm going to keep trying to find that issue. 2784 is where GitHub user quart size reported that the variable was marked as undefined. Declared outside the loop and then marked as undefined during the loop condition. Even though it was assigned in a loop that's guaranteed to happen at least once, that is a bug that I fixed in 2786. But it seems to still be a distinct issue from so here 2133 maybe. Yes, this is the one.
Oh, nice find that.
2133. You filed the ticket about the.
Yeah.
Broken. Looks like we discussed it during sync.
Okay.
I guess if you wanted to know the reasoning for that, we'd have to go back to the sync archive and listen to the sync audio from August 9th of 2017.
Okay, nice. So this is something. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll add comments to it as such.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Moving on. 3001. Ubuntu 18, x86-64s, Libatomics 16-byte compare and swap isn't atomic. Womp womp. Scott opened this. There's been some discussion of this in the Slack channel or Slack channels. I have forgotten. Was there a specific thing that you wanted us to discuss in the sync?
So it says, I've added the needs discussion during sync tag that suggests that perhaps a mix of documentation and code change are probably necessary, but I don't yet have good advice for you.
There we go. Okay.
So one question I would have about this, like, is there a way for us to detect, like, based on those, preprocessor variables, like, like maybe has atomic CAS 16, is there a way for us to detect this using those defines in a reasonable way so that we can, like, issue a compiler warning or error if it's compiled with on a platform where this is not?
I think you should add a question to that effect. If I understood Scott from some earlier conversations that may have been in the public Slack or may have just been he and I when we were chasing this around, I think the answer is no. That the defines say this should be available, but in Libatomic it's not on some particular thing. I don't think so. But Scott would really be the one to answer that.
Okay, I am adding a comment to ask Scott.
Cool. Okay, so let's go with that for now. Anything else we want to say on this issue? I'll take that as a no. Okay. 2980 Thunder and Herd scheduler problem and fan and message patterns.
Is that marked as needs discussion?
It is.
Yeah. I think it would be a good. So I know Dippin started working on something for this. I'm hoping he opens a PR at some point, and we'd have something to discuss there.
I think we had left it, or it shows that we left it as needs discussion during sync because you wanted to talk to Sylvan about it. So,
yeah, where he's not here today because he's off on the west coast of the U.S. on a business trip, suffering massive jet lag and doing business trippy meetings.
Business trip, eh? All right. Okay, 2371, fixed building with LLVM 5 and 6 so that the stack allocation workaround is no longer needed.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned earlier. I'd like to wait till LLVM 7 support is merged first.
Okay.
We can probably remove needs discussion if that's on there.
Yeah, I'll pull the needs discussion off then.
Okay. I'll mention that, I guess, and maybe I need to add this comment if it's not there, but Sylvan popped into Slack and confirmed that, at least it was my understanding that that he confirmed our that my hypothesis about the unsoundness of the TBAA as currently implemented is correct. So,
okay. All right. Issue 1330, investigate compilation to GPUs. It looks like maybe, oh, yeah, there's some discussion to have. I don't know if there's much else that needs to be discussed during sync right now. Looks like we may have just forgotten to remove the needs discussion during sync. Flag here. Does anybody think there's anything that we need to discuss right now about this one? I will take that silence as a no. Does anyone object to me removing the needs discussion during sync?
Who added the needs discussion during sync?
You did.
Really?
According to GitHub, who I trust.
Really?
With no. Well,
you trust GitHub more than me?
Don't put me in this situation, Sean. Come on. In this singular instance.
Okay.
It's still awesome.
Fine.
All right. I removed needs discussion. Okay. Let's see here. So that leaves us with the, we're leaving the Atomics thing as needs discussion during sync and the Thundering Herd scheduling problem as needs discussion during sync. So. Okay. Are there any new issues that have been opened? So Scott's with Atomics one, there's an unhelpful error message here, 2996.
I was just commenting on that one.
Okay.
Unless anyone here has something to say, I was commenting that I think the error output makes sense, and I was going to ask for input about how it could or should be improved.
Just see what the error is.
Yeah, my comment is including that for posterity.
Well. Yeah, okay, good, but thank you.
Oh, yes, you didn't add the error message. That would be nice.
Yeah.
But you can get it from going to the playground, so that's nice.
Right. Yeah, he didn't leave a lot of details about what they found confusing, although I guess it's probably in the Slack history.
I think this was an IRC conversation I had with him.
Okay, all right.
90% of the, hey, this error message confused me, usually came from conversations I've had with somebody on, well, mostly IRC, sometimes Slack now. They could be in the Slack, though. I'm going to go check the IRC now and see if I find anything.
Okay.
So I just now added my comment that includes the error output and my kind of thoughts about why I think the error makes sense as is. But yeah.
When was this opened?
7 days ago. The 28th.
Okay, I got it. Not an IRC then.
I was going to say this is Victor, right? I see some discussion on January 27th. I just searched for nonce.
For Not.
Sorry.
What did you search for?
Nonce is the name of.
Oh, nonce.
Number used once.
I vaguely remember the nonce. Oh, hey, it's Victor. Okay. All right. So. Oh, look, I helped him solve it, huh? How about that?
How about that?
Things I don't remember doing.
Sleepwalking.
I go back, and a lot of these, I'm like, oh, look, I helped that person solve that thing. I don't remember doing that.
Maybe for posterity, should we just like stick a link in to the conversation, just so there's a little bit of background about what was confusing?
No, because it's going to be gone.
Oh, right. It's not a searchable log of all conversations.
Yes.
Okay.
That's yeah. The awful thing about Slack. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Never mind. JK. Okay. All right. What else? Not match and not if causing compiler error.
What's that number?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's 2988.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, this doesn't have needs discretion during sync, but yeah, I think this is fairly straightforward as something that should be fixed as long as it doesn't require no longer being an LL1 parser. I think it should work with some rearranging, and if anyone wants to work on this, I can help them figure out, I can help them get oriented in the parser, basically.
Okay. Sean, did you want to say anything? I'm going back 2 weeks because we skipped last week, right?
Yep. Nope. That's good.
Yeah. So it's 2987, Sean, the unsafe pointer access to packed array and epoll.
Yeah. At this point, that one is, somebody needs to test that flag on Clang and make sure that Clang does the right thing. Mm-hmm. But it's almost assuredly a GCC bug. Like,
how so do we deal with that?
What?
I said, so how do we deal with a GCC bug?
It's an unreleased version of GCC.
Oh, it's unreleased. Okay.
Yeah, it hasn't been released yet.
Okay. All right.
Does this specify the flag somewhere? Yes, I see it. It's in your second comment.
Can you actually add a comment down at the end to say what the flag is that we want to test? Because it might be hard for somebody to find.
Yeah, I will do that because I was thinking about care of that.
Okay, and then 2186 calls to ref function inside of box functions prints a misleading error message.
Which one is that?
I'm sorry, this is 2986.
2986. Cool. What's the error? Oh, I think I helped him with this too. So, I mean, I understand his point as the beginner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can see how some of this could be confusing, but. Yeah, I don't know if there's a whole lot more that needs to be said on that right now, other than...
Yeah, I mean, Matthias added a decent one there. I don't have a good solution for it. Also, in part, I mean, I think this is a general... Part of this is a thing that can come up in general, which is like, hey, you know, Box is the default for methods. If you're just getting started, you might not know that, and you'd be looking at your code going, where's the box?
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. That's it for RFCs, pull requests, new issues, and issues that need discussion during sync. Does anyone have anything that they would like to discuss? So Google Summer of Code, the deadline is Thursday afternoon or evening. So we don't have a whole lot there right now in terms of our ideas list. If anybody wants to hop in and add anything, especially things that they think they might be interested in being a mentor for, let's go ahead and do that.
Joe, I have a thought for a possible thing, but I don't know if it would be good for Google Summer of Code. Do you think the Pony and Pony compiler would be a good Google Summer of Code project?
Let's see. I haven't looked over the Google Summer of Code stuff very closely. I think somebody added in there some tooling related to Pony CC, which was that, like, so I think somebody asked me this question before, and I don't think that the full, like, compiler is a very great place to start, just because I think it's a lot of work and there are smaller chunks you could work on. I think somebody, again, I'm not looking at the list in front of me, but I think there are one or two items related in there, one of them being like an LSP server implementation based on Pony CC, which would be a great place to start, because you could do a lot of the compiler patterns that were necessary for, like, resolving symbols and things like that, but without having to actually have a completely robust type checking system necessarily, although you could also include that if you wanted to, and without having to actually generate LLVM IR on the back end. So that's an example of a project that would be beneficial to the Pony community, like, as a standalone. Like, if there was an LSP server, then that means much better IDE support in practically any editor that people use these days. And it would also, bring us a step closer to a real, finished end-to-end Pony compiler. I have not marked myself as being a mentor for that, just because I'm not sure that I can commit to the full commitment ahead of time, but I would absolutely be a frequent chimer inner on trying to help whenever I can. I just can't commit to helping as a full-time mentor or whatever, or not full-time, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I guess, so I'm not 100% sure how some of the Google Summer of Code process works. I've tried to read as much as I can about what's going on with it. I think that if we have some ideas up and it turns out we can't do them, the first pass of this is our organization either would get accepted or not get accepted. And then I think the next pass is students apply. And I think they first have to apply through Google, and then they apply to us to work on a particular project, although I could be wrong about that. I guess what I'm saying is there's a few different gates, and if we get to a student who, wants to do something, but we can't find, turns out we can't mentor, then I guess we can say no at that point before trying to get them started.
Would things like working out, like, the free BSD bugs and, like, ARM bugs that exist, is that, like, a good thing? Those seem kind of small. I'm not really sure, like, what?
Yeah, I think we could list them. The way I'm trying to think of it is, I think Google Summer of Code is basically open to any student, starting college and up. Maybe I don't even know if it's open to high schoolers or not. If there are things like that, I think it could be worth listing them and just saying, okay, this is an easier thing, but you know, somebody who's just getting started, maybe this is a great way for them to kind of get in, working on the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be worthwhile to have.
I would say then I think maybe, I mean, cause you know it better, like go through like go through open issues and just pull anything out that you think is good and kind of like beef it up with more stuff.
Yep.
You know?
I'll try to take a look and I guess if anybody else wants to do that too. I think the other thing I guess that I'd like to say about it is that even if we don't get accepted this year, I feel like having gone through the process of figuring out what it would take to put together an application has been useful. And so I guess I think that if it's something, it's something that I think we should probably try to do next year too. And so now that we've kind of got our feet wet with thinking about how to do this, maybe we can continue to think of these things through the year, and that way we won't be just trying to put things together in a month when this rolls around next year. We'll have kind of a continuing list of things. So anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on it. Does anybody else have anything else they would like to talk about?
Well, I have a thing. It's not for discussion right now because I want Sylvan and Matthias to be available as well as Joe on this. But it is something that's come up a little bit for me on Slack is in the not so distant future when Chris does some stuff for main.actor for documentation display and everything, he's going to be, part of this is going to be, hey, I think we should change XYZ about the generated documentation stuff. And at that point, there's a decision to be made about, do I do those changes in the C code base? Do we want to bring, do we want to use the, do we want to use Pony CC for that? In some type of fashion where we can use Pony CC and the AST stuff for building up individual tools for it. And there are pros and cons to each of these approaches. And it's just something I want to put in people's heads to be thinking about for when that conversation comes.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody else? Okay. I will stop recording.